The wind is irresistible. I'm reminded of a story of a preacher that was going to preach about the wind as a symbol of God, and he didn't quite know how to explain it, so he said, "Who do I know that knows about wind?" And he remembered an old sea captain, and he went to visit the sea captain, and he asked the sea captain, "Tell me about the wind." He said, "I can't tell you anything about the wind. I just know how to catch it when it's there." See, what we got to do is catch it when it's there. When God wants to move, we got to have our sails out so that we can catch everything that He wants to do. So the wind is invisible and it's irresistible and it's indispensable. We can't leave home without it. Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, talks about the valley of bones, and it said, "Prophesied to the four winds, and the bones came alive." The Spirit of God is life. We're wasting our time unless the breath of God breathes on the efforts that we make. We're no different than anyone else in the world unless the breath of God. I know some of you that God has healed from things and some God hasn't. But I will tell you, if you have an addiction, whatever it is, if you're not willing to give it and submit it to the power of the living God, to the breath of the Holy Spirit, you are on your own fighting it. But God, who is capable... What's Billy Graham's son's name?
Franklin.
I remember a story about Franklin. Franklin was a rebellious teenager. By his own words, I'm not talking bad. And he came back to God, and the Spirit of God got a hold of him. He says the Spirit of God got a hold of him. He was addicted to cigarettes. And he tried to break them, and he couldn't. And one day God spoke to him, and he lit a cigarette, and it tasted poor. And he never smoked again. See, when we submit it to God, God changes the addiction need in our life and renders us free. You can't fly a kite without wind. You can't live the spiritual life in empowerment without the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is seen as sound or wind. The Holy Spirit's miracle, second miracle, is that of sight, the fire, the miracle of sight. A flickering flame settled upon each of the 120 heads, making them look like, I suppose, human candles, and changing their life forever. I used to love our ex-bishop's hat, mitre, because it had the flickering flame on it, and it just always reminded me of the 120 in the room and looking around, and they had to look like candles. You know, they're all just on fire. Numbers 31:23 says, Everything that may abide the fire, you shall make it go through the fire, and it shall be cleaned. And he's talking about the burning out of impurities, much like the silversmith putting the precious metals into the fire. See, the job of the Holy Spirit is to burn out our dross. We all have errors. It needs to make us pure. If God says, "I'm going to burn the sin that doesn't belong to you." So one asks, what's God's major goal for us in our lives? And some of you would say, "Well, He wants me to be happy." And yeah, I think God wants us to be happy and fulfilled and abundant, but I don't believe that's the number one goal. Some says He wants us to be healthy. You ask a new couple that's conceived, what is it going to be? Well, we don't care as long as it's healthy. And so every parent wants healthiness, but I don't think that's God's number one concern for our life. I think God's number one goal for our life, or yours and mine, is that we be holy. Holy, acceptable unto Him. More than happiness, more than health. And the Holy Spirit is there to make us holy by burning out the sin of our life. Leviticus 11:41 says, "For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." Luke 1:75 says, "In holiness and righteousness before him all the days of my life." 1 Peter 1:16 says, "Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy." Why the Holy Spirit is symbolized by fire? Because he burns the dross out of our lives. He does this in two ways. First, in the ministry of conviction. How many of us have had that small, still voice say to us, don't go there. Don't do this. And of course, in our pride, we do it anyway, and the results is always resoundingly horrible, at least to us. John Rice, a great evangelist, says that after being saved for many, many years, he was asked if he had gotten to the place where he no longer sinned. His answer was no, but I got to the place where I can't enjoy it. The Holy Spirit can give us that place of unenjoyment. First Corinthians 10:13 says, "God is faithful and will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." God doesn't give us more than we can handle. But in the ministry of conviction, God corrects us and leads us and guides us. Last week, I've had some physical problems because I didn't listen to God. He gave me every clue that I was about to get into some medical issues, and I didn't listen. It's always humbling to tell y'all, but I should have listened. I've been on antibiotics for a week. By my own fault did I sin. I didn't do what I knew to do medically. I didn't drink enough water. See, we can ignore the conviction of the Holy Spirit, but we'll be sorry. And I've been sorry. As a believer, when you go somewhere you don't belong, you'll hear the voice. Something will say, some act in you will let you know you've made a wrong turn. That's the power of God. More importantly than the power of conviction, a ministry of conviction, the Holy Spirit gives us the ministry of empowerment. And that's what we need to understand, the ministry of empowerment. God isn't there just to hold our hands till we get to heaven. But it says in 1 Corinthians that in order for us to manifest life and it more abundantly, God gives us this. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. For how many is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit? Each one. That's individually. It's you. That's you. It's not, well, someone else will have it. But to each one is given the Spirit. Now I've lost my place. The manifestation of the Spirit is given in common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by one Spirit. To another, miraculous by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another the interpretation of tongues. And all of these are at work at one and the same Spirit as He gives to them, to each one, just as He's determined. Saints of God, to each of us is given a manifestation of the Spirit. To each of us, if you don't know what your manifestation of the Spirit on this Pentecost day is, then ask God what it is, because He is given to each of us. We all own it. It's not in the power of a clergy that has a plastic collar around his neck that they're the only ones that have the administration of healing or of tongues. And what has God done? And what has Satan done with that statement? He's focused on tongues. The least of all of the gifts, as far as I'm concerned. He's focused on that. Well, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. John and Rita Bennett wrote a book on the Holy Spirit back in the 80s. And they said, tongues is one example of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean you're not filled if you don't speak in tongues. I've had people that have absolutely manifested gifts of wisdom and other gifts of the Holy Spirit, but they said, well I don't feel, and I'm not complete because I don't speak in tongues. We stop ourselves from getting tongues because it sounds weird. I remember the day I was filled with tongues. I was driving across North Florida to Pensacola, and I got the gift of tongues, and for about 20 minutes I spoke, and I said, don't ever let that happen again, God. That's enough. That's crazy. I'm making that up. And for weeks, I didn't speak again. What we need to be hungry for. See, we think we got Jesus, so our tickets are punched to heaven so we can live like hell on earth. Or we live in hell on earth because it's a purgatory, because we don't have the complete fullness of what God wants us to have. This is the day the birth of the church is realized, because this is the day that Jesus not only left, but sent back whom He said He would, someone that would be closer to us than a friend, someone that would empower us with power, with dynamite power. And the average church member doesn't understand it. Doesn't get it. Without the wind of God, we're nothing but men in a social club doing their own things. The power of God is for us today. Amen. 2 Kings 10:16 says, come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. When there is indunamite power, there is zeal for God. Psalm says, King David said, for the zeal of thy throne hath eaten me up. Galatians 4 says, but it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I'm present with you. Are we a people on fire? I don't know if today's low attendance because of the subtropical storm that's coming, or because of a holiday, or because they didn't think I took a bath last night. I don't know. But this I know. If we individually do not have the Holy Spirit, we're walking around powerlessly against the devil, who is filled with earthly power. He doesn't have a lot of tricks, but he uses them really, really well. He's had years of developing the lying spirit. And sometimes, and those of you that are filled with the Spirit will know what I'm saying, sometimes you're going into a situation and you just don't know what to do, and so you begin to pray. And maybe you don't know how to pray, so you pray in tongues if you have tongues. But you pray, you get into the situation, and it's not a problem at all. And we don't understand why. Well, I'm telling you, it's because the Spirit of God went before us. Amen. See, God will If we're sick, God will heal us or give us the ability to overcome it. If we lose our job, God will provide for us in some other way. I remember the time that Jan and I went many, many weeks unemployed, 40 weeks. And at the end of the 40 weeks, we didn't owe any more money than we did before the 40 weeks. God just supernaturally provided. And then Jan got a word. She was praying. She got a word. As the children of Israel were in the desert for 40 months, 40 years rather. So 40 weeks into the 40th week, I went back unemployed. I went back employed at the same level of salary I'd had weeks before. God supernaturally provided. God supernaturally has provided. And so many, as I look around, so many times I've seen the life of God go into you and supernaturally provide where you didn't think there was a way. Because with God, there's always a way. When there is no way, there is a way, because He says there's a way, because His grace and mercy is upon us. Some of you are walking through some really tough things right now. Give joy. Give thanks. Because God has not forgotten who you are. He knows you by name. Songs of Solomon says if we but look at Him, He runs to us. Our God who created everything so has a heart so much for us to communicate with Him that it says He will run to us. He will come to us in our time of need. So I invite you this morning, if you're not comfortable with the things of God, if you're not comfortable in your life, if there's problems, if there's issues, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, don't leave here. Don't come and just take communion and go away and have life the same tomorrow. Because the power of God is residue in each one of us to move us beyond the circumstances that we find ourselves in and to the circumstances where the abundancy of God's love and grace is upon us. So today, where are you with God? In this day of birth, in this day of celebration of the birth of the church, where are we with God, with the Holy Spirit? We know Jesus. He gave us salvation. We go to His cross and we can get healing. But where are we with the Holy Spirit? Are you empowered? Are you filled? If you're not, during we'll have an extended communion time, but just ask the priest that gives you communion to pray for you, to change you, to empower you, that His grace and mercy would be abundant in your life. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.